Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Masecht Beitza is daf Lamed Vav. We're on Lamed Hamed Beis. We're almost finishing the fourth parak. We're going to quickly finish up the fourth parak. Start the fifth and final parak of the Masecht. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf Abilan Lezeich Nishmas Los Lupin Zaltzman. Just yesterday was the discussion in Trumas Amaris. It's the last Mishnah of the parak dealt with taking off Trumas HaMaisers. Actually, the last Mishnah avoided the whole issue of Trumas HaMaisers because the last Mishnah discussed what happens on Erev Shabbos during the Shemitah year. And you want to go up to the rooftop and you want to... There are fruit which are drying and are kind of edible, not totally edible, not totally unedible, and you want to designate them for Shabbos. So what do you do? Or for Yantiv? So you go up to the rooftop, and then we have a debate in the Mishnah exactly how the designation works. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you just simply say I'm going to eat some of them. You don't even have to specify which ones. And according to the Chachamim, no, you have to be Roshe, and you have to actually designate which one you want to eat. The Chachamim do not hold a Breira. And the Chachamim also say that verbal designation is insufficient. Okay? That was the Mishnah. But then the Gemara turned its attention to the fact that the Mishnah specifically went out of its way to talk about a scenario that it's during the Shemitah year. Meaning, what if it wasn't during the Shemitah year? And what if Trumas HaMaisos becomes an issue? So the Mishnah says nothing about that, but it's pretty clear from the Mishnah that the Mishnah clearly wanted to avoid the Trumas HaMaisos discussion. And so what if it would have been Trumas HaMaisos? What would then have been the halacha? The fact that I'm designated for Shabbos means that it's Koveya, means that's established. And then it got on to the discussion yesterday about whether or not you could be Koveya. In other words, Shabbos is a Koveya, right? We remember yesterday we went to the Rambam. The Rambam tells us that there are six Koveyas. There are six things which make fruit after the Gemar Malach, after it's finally produced and the production is done. So it'll be Koveya. Now we'll establish it so that it'll be Chayv and Trumas HaMaisos. Prior to the point of Kviya, you're allowed to snack. In other words, it's not yet obligated in Trumas HaMaisos. And only once you're Koveya, so now it's obligated Trumas HaMaisos. So the Gemara then went into a lengthy discussion yesterday. Maybe from our Mishnah we can prove that not only Shabbos is a Koveya, but Shabbos is a super Koveya. Shabbos is super Koveya, meaning that even before the Gemara Malacha, Shabbos will be Koveya. That was the lengthy discussion that the Gemara had yesterday. The Gemara's discussion started on Lamed Amud Beis and continued all the way to where we are right now. The halacha, which the Gemara told us yesterday, meaning Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan. Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, he quotes Rav Yochanan, and he says, now it's interesting, and I did a little more research yesterday. The Kesef Mishnah makes the point, but the Gemara here only quotes four of the six Koveyas. Okay, why doesn't the Gemara here quote the other two? I don't know. Kesef Mishnah also doesn't, on his commentary to the Rambam, doesn't make a suggestion. But anyway, but the Gemara here quotes four of the six. But the point is, and the Rambam says it's true by all six, that when it comes to any one of the Koveyas, it's only going to be a Koveya, only after the point of Gemar Malacha. Now the Gemara notes, Rav Yochanan notes that there are a number of Tanaim who disagree, Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, for example. There are a number of Tanaim who disagree and say that no, that some of these are Koveya even before the Gemar Malacha, but the Halacha is that all these items, all these events become a Koveya only after the Gemar Malacha. So we went through the Gemara yesterday, and we noted various Tanaim who don't agree with this, but the Gemara says, but we don't hold like these various Tanaim. So yesterday we went through Shabbos. Shabbos is a Koveya, but only after the Gemar Malacha. We went through Chatzer, and by Chatzer we also mean house as well. Chatzer and your house are Koveya, but only after the Gemar Malacha. And then we did Truma yesterday, and that's where we finished up. That's where we stopped yesterday. Truma also will be a Koveya, meaning if I take off Truma, so that now I cannot snack from the rest of the produce until I take off Maestros. Okay, so Truma is going to be a Koveya, but again, Truma is only going to be Koveya only after the Gemara Malacha. Okay, we are up to Mekach in the Gemara. We're on Lamed Hamed Beis. We are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. A sale will be a koveya. So in other words, if I sell produce, so at that point in time now, it's kavua, it's now established, so I have to take off Trumas HaMaisos. And once again, the halach is, I can't snack from the produce until I take off Trumas HaMaisos. So mekach didnan, or kiditanya, it's a braisa, halakech teni ma'amaretz, if I buy figs from an ama'aretz. Bim makom shuro b'nei adam dorsin, where most of the people are dores. Dores a funny term to be used over here. Doris Rashi says, basically, we're in the middle of the fig production. We're not finished yet. The figs are going to get dried out. The figs are going to be turned into a fig cake. So in other words, it's not yet reached the Gemar Malacha. So you can snack for them. When you take off Trumas and Maestros, you only have to do it as Demai, meaning not from the knowledge that Trumas and Maestros have not been taken off, but as a Chumra, but as a stringency. I'll explain that better in just a moment. Shmamin at Talas. 3 points to deduce over here. Shmamin at Mekachinu Kovas, Elabadav Shigma Malachta. So point number one, a sale is a Koveya, but only for fruit that has experienced Gemar Malacha. These figs in question are not at the point of Gemar Malacha. There's more processing that's going to be done. So even though a sale has transpired with these fruit, with these figs, nevertheless, you could keep snacking from them because they haven't reached the point of Gemar Malacha. So if you want to take a fig and eat it, you're more than welcome to do so. B'derech Harai. Shema min arov v'amei aretz ma'asrin hein. And the majority of the amei haaretz take off maestros, meaning, when we buy trumos, I'm sorry. When we buy peros from an amma aretz, someone who is not careful about the way he performs his halacha, so we generally say that we have to take off trumos and maestros, but not as a baseline halacha, as a chumra, as a stringency. Meaning, this is enacted by the rabbis, and the rabbis admit that this is a stringency. This is not an absolute. In fact, the Gemara says this a number of places, that majority of Amei Aretz take off Trumas and Maestros. We do so as an extra stringency imposed by the Chachamim, but okay, and by the way, there's a whole Masechta dedicated to the topic of Demai, right? The fruit that you buy from the Amei Aretz is called, it's labeled Demai, and our requirement to take off Trumas and Maestros is a Chumra. Remember recently we talked about, where was this? It was in the Masechta Beitzah? Okay, this much I don't remember. But recently we spoke about the fact that, let's say, I have guests coming over. So when I have nothing else to give them, you can give them Demai, even without having to take off Trumas and Maestros. Or, for example, a poor person. A poor person is knocking on my door. I do have fruit. I bought it from an Amma Aretz. So I can give the Ani, the Peros Demai, without having to take off Trumas and Maestros. Meaning, there are a number of times where the Chachamim acknowledge it's a chumra. It's a stringency. And under certain circumstances, you don't have to do it. And another point is that when you buy demai from an amaretz, even when it is lo nigmar malachto, nevertheless, you have to take off chumas and maestros. So and you take it off as demai lafukimi hadidnan, and the Gemara says which excludes ourselves from the following mishnah hamach the perosim chaveru zelech avazelechol. If I exchange fruit with my friend, this one wants to eat it and this one wants to eat it, zelekatzos vazelekatzos, or this one wants to continue processing it, which means that we're in the middle of the malacha. We haven't reached the point of Gemar Malacha. Zelech of a zelekatzos. This one wants to eat it, but this one wants to continue processing it. Chayev. In all these cases, you would be chayev. In other words, because the mekach is koveya, it's a sale. Now here it's a barter, but in the world of halacha, barter, sale, same thing, it's a transaction. So it's a barter, it's a sale. So the author of this brisa says, once you have a mekach, it's koveya. Even though we're in the middle of processing. And Rav Yehuda Amar Lechol Chayv LeKatzos Pater. Rav Yehuda says, no, if you're going to eat it, so now that means that we've reached the end of the malacha, and therefore the sale is koveya. But if it's LeKatzos, but if we're in the middle of processing, and I'm buying the figs, but I'm going to continue processing them, dry them out, put them in a cake, press them into a cake, so then at this point in time, it has not achieved the point of Gemar Malacha, and therefore the sale is not going to be koveya. Once again, we have now various tanaim, the point of the last bit of the perek. We have various tanaim who are of the opinion that these events, the four events of Shabbos, taking off truma, bringing into your chatzer, having a transaction, they're a koveya that we all agree to. The issue is, are they a super koveya? Are they going to be koveya even before Gemar Malacha? We have now seen a number of tanaim who say yes, but Rav Yochanan says, but that's not the halacha. The halacha follows, like the tanaim who say that all these are only going to be koveya only after Gemara Malacha. We'll add two more to the list, even though the Gemara doesn't mention it, but we saw in the Rambam yesterday, and that is Molech and Eish. Salting, right? Salting is salting means now I'm ready to eat it, and cooking it, putting it under fire. So those are two more. So now we have wrapped up all six koveas. That'll be koveah for Trumas and Maisos, Hajan Lachamevi. That is the end of the fourth parak of the Masechta. Okay, we're almost done. We are starting now the fifth parak of the Masechta. We have but not even a week to go. I think Friday we are going to be finishing the fifth parak of the Masechta. And what we begin with in the discussion of the fifth parak is Tircha. Okay, exerting yourself. An Yantiv, in addition to having leniencies regarding doing certain malachas for the purpose of Ochel Nefesh, but at the same time, however, we saw this already from day one of the Masechta, because there are leniencies, so the Chachamim said, you know, we're going to be, there are so many ways to be Mako on Yantiv, so we've got to balance it a little bit, we're going to be a little bit strict. So for example, we saw in the beginning of the Masechta, Muksa, we're going to be a little more strict in the realm of Muksa on Yantiv than on Shabbos, because Yantiv, we don't want people to be mezalzel on Yantiv, we don't want people to degrade and disregard Yantiv. So therefore, on the issues of Muksa, we're going to be a little bit more machmer. That we already know in the beginning of the Masechta. Here in our Mishnah, we're going to be discussing other issues of not overexerting yourself on Yantiv. We're not going to be speaking in terms of Malacha, we're just going to be talking in terms of Tircha, of exertion. So the Mishnah says, Mashilam peres derecha ruba b'yantav. So let's say I have fruit and they're on my rooftop on Yantiv. And I put them out there to dry. And I say fruit, Rashi points out, not necessarily just fruit, but even wheat, even barley. And I put them on the rooftop to dry, and now the rain is coming down. And now the rain is coming down, it's Yantiv, and if I leave it out there, they're going to get saturated by the rain and ruined by the rain. So now we're basically looking at a financial loss. So here's what you're allowed to do. Now it's not muksa, it's food. You're allowed to move it. And maybe that's why Rashi here says that we're talking about wheat, because if we're talking about dried fruit, so maybe that would be muksa. But it's not muksa, so all I want to do is move it in order to save financial loss. So am I allowed to do it? So the Mishnah says, yes, you are. But the Mishnah gives only one construct example in terms of how to do it, and that is lowering it through the skylight. Mashilim peres derecha ruba b'yamtav. You're allowed to drop it through the skylight on Yantav. You take a look at that first Rashi. On the Mishnah, Rashi writes, "Mishiyish lochitim usarim shetuchin al gago lehisya beish." So it's on the roof and it's drying. Vira gushamim memash meshim uvayin, and you look at the weather and it's looming. Hitira lo lechoch lashlich derech aruba shebegag vehin oflan laaretz. So quickly, what you do is you basically drop it through the skylight. Meaning, you're on the roof. It's the wheat and barley on the roof, so you could drop it through the skylight. The leka tircha yisera. Because here you're not schlepping, you're not picking it up, you're not schlepping it anywhere. All you're doing is just dropping it, letting gravity do all the heavy lifting for you. V'dafka ruba, and Rashi points out, and we're going to see this in the Gemara, but Rashi over here is going to foreshadow. V'dafka ruba dechol aruba malama lamata. The only thing you're allowed to do is just drop it through the skylight. He betikra sagag avachalon kigon gag shemukaf mechitzas vechalon bekoso. But let's say your roof is adjacent to another building, and there is no skylight, and the only way to save your produce that you left on the roof is to pick it up and to transfer it through a window of somebody else's building. V'tzarech lahagbio ad achalon lashlichu lo tarchinan kidalakaman. So Rashi tells us, the Gemara later on will say, that you're not allowed to do. Why not? Tirchi yisera. Because that involves too much effort and too much energy, and this is not a malacha issue. This is just, it will not fit into the spirit of Yantiv issue. It's not Yantiv dick, if you will, to go ahead and to exert yourself that much, even though all you're doing is you're trying to save yourself from financial loss, which is always taken into consideration in the halacha. It's not disregarded, but not at the expense of Tircha Yisera on Yantav. You're allowed to do it on Yantav, says the Mishnah. We're back in the Mishnah of Allah B'Shabbos. But you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. On Shabbos, that dispensation is not allowed. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara in terms of why not. Now let's say there's a drip, and the drip happens to be dripping right on your fruit. So there's a leak in the house, the AC is leaking, and it just happened to me recently, so that's So the and it's dripping right on the fruit. So says the Mishnah, what you could do? Cover it. Cover the fruit, and you can cover it using a cloth on yontiv, and that would be acceptable. And the same thing with jugs of oil and jugs of wine. So you have a jug of oil and a jug of wine in the house, and there's a drip now, and it's dripping right onto your oil and onto your wine. So once again, you're allowed to cover it to save it. And now let's say there's a drip, and and it's yontiv, and there's not much you could do, but you want to put a bucket under the drip, that you're allowed to do, says the Mishnah. Okay, much to discuss over here. A number of issues which we're going to be discussing. But first things first, the language of the Mishnah. The first word in our Mishnah is the word mashilin. The word mashilin, a strange word, a unique word. It was a word we don't see that often in the Mishnayos. And so the Gemara starts off, Itmar Rav Yehuda Rav Nasan. We have Amarayim, Chatani Mashilin, Chatani Mashchilin. So you know the Gemara operates in this kind of format often, where we have the Amarayim and we have the positions. We just don't know the match. But either way, though, we have one opinion that the correct usage of our Mishnah, the term is mashilin, and the other says no, the term is mashchilin. Okay, Amar Zutra Mandani Mashilin in Lo Mishtabish Mandani Mashchilin Lo Mishtabish, and the Gemara over here says very clearly Elu VeElu, they are both acceptable terms, meaning it's not incorrect to say either mashilin or mashchilin. So Mandani Mashilin. So the Gemara here gives us a little dictionary talk. The word mashilin, acceptable. Because you look at the tochacha in Parshas Kisavo, right, end of Sefer Devarim, and you'll see that one of the tochacha is kishal zeischa. Right, your olive tree is going to drop the olives, but early, meaning that they're not fully produced, but the tree is not going to be able to hold it. Part of the tochacha, part of the rebuke, and the klala that's mentioned in Parshas Kisavo. So, but what do you see that the word yishal means to fall down. Okay, so you see that the word yishal means to fall down, so it's appropriate in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, the allowance to drop the fruit through the skylight is mashilin. Oman dini mashchilin lo mishtabish. Now the word mashchilin is also acceptable. Dinan hashachul v'aksul. So we have here a Mishnah Bechoros. The Mishnah Bechoros talks about the blemishes of an animal. Okay, listening carefully during the parsha. So you heard yesterday, 2 days ago now. Okay. You heard all the various blemishes of an animal. So the Mishnah and Becharos actually helps us identify what the Pesukim actually mean. So one of the blemishes is Shachul and Kasul. Shachul, Shenishmata Yerechel. So the Shachul is a dislocation of the hip. So in other words, one of the hip fell out of the socket and it's basically dropped. So you see that the word Shachul also means something which dropped, something which was lowered. And kasul she'echad miyarkasav gavol mechavero. And the kasul is where basically it's asymmetrical. In other words, you don't have the hips with a perfect T lined up with one another, but one is higher than the other. It's not a dislocation of the hip. It's just that the hips are asymmetrical. Another physical blemish of the animal. Okay, so, but again, the point over here is that the word shachul means to drop. And if in our Mishnah, you don't have the lashon of mashilin, but you have rather the lashon of mashchilin, that is acceptable. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak the Gemara, as long as we are here in the discussion of words and acceptable usage of words, so the Gemara gives us other examples of such. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak mandatni mashirin lamishtabish, mandatni mashchirin lamishtabish. So mashirin and mashchirin are both acceptable terms. Mandatni menashrin, I'm sorry, umandatni menashrin lamishtabish. Three acceptable words for a Mishnah in Nazir. Mandini Mashirin Lomishabish Nan. So first we see the word Mashirin, we have the Mishnah in Nazir. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Nazir Lo Yichof Rosh Abadamam Mimne Shemeshir Esa Seyar. A Nazir may not rub his head. In other words, basically shampoo, old fashioned shampoo, using earth to rub it into his hair. Okay, probably could be sold as a high-end salon treatment. Okay, they can convince you of anything. So the mibnei shemeshir esaser, because what's going to happen is your hair is going to fall out. Now, for you and I, it's fine. I understand there's the aesthetic issue, but for you and I, it's fine. But for the nazir, there's an isser. Now, nazir is not allowed to cut his hair and do anything to promote hair loss, because that's an isser in the Torah. Okay, we touch on issues of davishin and miskavin that may not be his intent. right now that's not, these are all good issues, but right now we're just looking at the language of Meshir. Meshir means it comes out. It comes down. Another possibility in terms of our Mishnah, in terms of accept the words, there was the word Mashkirin. So if I have Shachur and Zug Shel Saparim, Shachur, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi over here explains, Ta'ar, a Shachur is a razor, Al Shem Shemashchir Es Aseir, because it basically removes the hair, Amma Lashon Hashpalahu. So again, so what the razor does is it cuts the hair and the hair falls off and it falls down. So once again, the word Shachur is another acceptable word of our Mishnah. And Zug Shel Saparim. And Zug Shel Saparim is just a fancy way of saying scissors. Rashi points out scissors are considered a Zug because it's a pair of razors against one another. So it's even if they're disassembled, they're still going to be Mekabel Tumah. Mishnah in Kalim? No, Shabbos. Okay. And finally, another acceptable word of our Mishnah is going to be Menashrin. Okay, wow. So even though our Mishnah had opened up with the words Mashilin, but the Gemara says that there are four other possible words that can basically speak to the same idea that it's going to fall down. Your clothing gets saturated in water. You can still walk around with them on Shabbos, even though people may think that you laundered your clothing, but the Gemara says, but you're wearing them, so it's not really an issue, it's not a concern, and go ahead. The Gemara quotes another Mishnah, the Mishnah in Peah tells us that what is considered a leket, one of the matnos aniyim, one of the gifts for the poor. So if it falls, what's the definition of falling? It's got to fall during harvesting. Okay. Adkan, that is the end of the first word of our Mishnah. So the first discussion on the Gemara is acceptable words that could be used in our Mishnah in addition to the word Mashilin. And the Gemara gives us five in total, four alternatives other than the word used in our Mishnah of Mashilin. Continuing in the Gemara, we're at the two dots, we're on Lamed Hamad Beis, we started the fifth parak, and we are now up to the two dots, about 10 lines from the bottom, the Amud Tanan. Mashilin Peres Derech Haruba B'Yamtov. So good, so we quote our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is dealing with Yontif. On Yontif, the rain's coming down. All my wheat and barley is on the rooftop. I left it up there to dry out. And meanwhile, now it's raining. Oh no, financial loss. So what does the Mishnah allow you to do? Run up to the roof and drop it through the skylight. On Yontif. Okay. Ad kama. So the Gemara has a very simple question, and that is, up until what point in time? Meaning, we are certainly allowing you to do a little bit of work on Yontif to save yourself from financial loss, but is there a limit? So Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Koso Shishanina. So even though our Mishnah Ovidah doesn't mention a limit, but the Gemara says, but let's turn back to Masechta Shabbos. Where Masechta Shabbos, we had a similar discussion where you're allowed to move food on Shabbos, but for a different consideration. The Mishnah in Shabbos tells us that if I have four or five boxes of tevin, of straw, vishal tfuah, and of grain, so I can move them on Shabbos. So let's say, on Shabbos, or right before Shabbos, in comes guests, needs a place to stay. Hachnasas Orchim, what a great opportunity. Oh, the room, our guest room right now, is right now doubling as our storage room. So on Shabbos, what you can do is you can pick it up, these boxes, and you can move them for the purposes of Achnasas Orchim. Or, another example says the Mishnah on Shabbos, is let's say we need a room to have a shiur. In other words, they need to learn. And right now that room would be a great room to learn. The only problem is that there are boxes sitting in that room, so you could pick up four or five boxes and move out the boxes. So, you see the Mishnah Shabbos says that you can do exertion on Shabbos, tircha, for the purposes of hachnasas orchim, and for the purposes of learning Torah. And so the Gemara says, so you see over there, that Mishnah describes a limit of four or five boxes. So maybe what we'll do is, our Mishnah doesn't mention a limit, but we have the Mishnah over there which does mention a limit, and we'll take that limit mentioned in the Mishnah Shabbos and apply it to our Mishnah here in Yontif. And the Gemara says, I don't think you can compare the two. The Gemara makes obvious distinctions between the two cases. There in the Mishnah Shabbos, we're talking about purposes of a mitzvah, base medrash, learning Torah. The Gemara doesn't say it, but Rashi points out, Hachnasas Orchim. These are mitzvos. But over here, we're talking about just saving yourself from financial loss. Maybe it's not the same. Another basic point of distinction. When it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos already is a very stringent day. So, if we allow the moving of boxes, so we're not going to be mezalzel on Shabbos. Yontov, we already have a number of dispensations. You can cook on Yontov, you can carry on Yontov, you can transfer fire. There are a number of things that you're allowed to do on Yontov. So, if there are more allowances on Yontov, so then we're just going to end up being mezalzel by Yontov. And the Gemara says, and truth of the matter is, we can even argue in the other direction, which is that there's no financial loss. Here there's a financial loss. A financial loss is halachically significant. The halacha always takes into consideration financial loss, and maybe you can make the argument that over here you can move more than four or five. There where there's no financial loss, maybe the cap is four or five. Here where there is financial loss, potential financial loss, so maybe it could even be more. So the Gemara says, I don't know if you can compare the Mishnah here in Beitza and the Mishnah over there in Shabbos. Hasam Tanan and the Gemara, we're now on the top of Lamed Vav Lamed Alf. The Gemara says, and also, Another consideration, Avalois Aotsar. The Mishnah over there in Shabbos says that you can move four or five boxes, but Lois Aotsar, but not the storehouse. What does that mean? V'amr Shmuel may Avalois Aotsar. Now Shmuel over there points out, what does that mean? Avalo Yigmor Es Aotsar Kulo. Dilma Asila Ashve Gumos. Now over there on Shabbos, you have guests coming and you want to clear space for the guests. You have people who need room for base medrash, for learning Torah. So you can clear space. You can clear space, but you can't clear it out totally. That's what the Mishnah Shabbos means. So that means when the guest comes into the room, oh my gosh, hold on one second. Let me take the boxes of wheat out of the room. You're allowed to do that, but not totally clear it out. Although you just apologize and say, look, I'm really sorry, right? I'm going to clear space for you, but I have to leave some of the boxes there. Why do I have to leave some of the boxes there? So Shmuel explains the Mishnah in Shabbos, and Shmuel says the reason why is because once you expose the floor, so you're going to see the imperfections in the floor, and then you may be tempted, again, the guests are coming, you want to show your best face, and you're going to be tempted to level out the floor. Remember, the flooring back in the good old days was actual earth. So you're going to be tempted to level out the floor, and that's a malacha. So even though you can expose some of the floor, you can't expose all of the floor. That's the Mishnah in Shabbos. So, again, the Gemara is basically going to have the same exact discussion. Hacha mai. So I know in Shabbos, I could take four or five boxes out at a time. And I can make room for base measure shen for achnas asorchim. But I can't expose the entire floor. Now let's go back here to Yontif. Same or not the same? So maybe here on our issue of having produce on the top of the roof, knocking it down the skylight so that the rain doesn't ruin it, saving yourself from financial loss. So maybe here I can expose the entire roof because it's Yontov. And it's a little more relaxed than Yontov. Or the Gemara says, no. Over there, where there is a positive benefit of learning Torah, hachnas asorchem, so there, and yet, it's capped. I can't expose the entire floor. Here, where there's no mitzvah benefit, it's just saving yourself from financial loss, so maybe also you can't expose the entire roof. Again, the point of the Mishnah is going to be basically the same again and again. I may or may not be able to compare the Shabbos issue and the Yontov issue. And then the Gemara says, and let's make another point. I can lower our Mishnah here, saving yourself from financial loss. I can lower through the skylight. But I can't move it from one rooftop to another rooftop. Rashi says, same as he did back in the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where I don't have a skylight, and I can't just drop it. I'm going to have to pick it up in order to carry it through another window to an adjacent building. So, again, it's not part of the discussion. Meaning, there's no malacha being violated over here. It's just tircha. And that you're not allowed to do. And why not? Rashi over right here explains, because that's Tircha Yaseira. That's too much exertion, and that the Chachamim don't want us to do on Yantav. V'tanya nami hachi. And not only is this Rav Nachman's pshat in the Mishnah, we also have a brisa that says exactly the same thing. Ein metalta migagla gaga filo kishigago sehem shavim. Even if really, I don't even have to pick it up any higher. I'm going now to a parallel rooftop. But that you're not allowed to do, because that's going to require you to pick it up. And to that degree, you cannot do that kind of exertion. So, hasamai. So now, question. Regarding Shabbos. And again, the base measure shin hachnasas orchim. So what are we going to say? Skip the parentheses. Hachudasim ishim yomtiv dekil vasil azazulebe. And again, we're going to go over those same arguments. On yomtiv, if we allow this to be done, this extra exertion, so then basically we're going to the sanctity of Yantav will be diminished in our eyes. But Shabbos, we understand the sanctity of Shabbos. It's intuitive. Shabbos is so chamor. So therefore, a little extra exertion won't diminish the sanctity of Shabbos. And now again, it's just arguments. So if by hefsed paris, if we're talking about financial loss, and yet the Mishnah says don't pick it up, just drop it through the skylight. So on Shabbos where there's no financial loss, so alachas kama v'kama, how much more so you won't be able to pick it up. So again, just question marks. Can you compare the financial loss case here in the fifth parak, the beginning of the fifth parak of Beitza, to the case of clearing out space for either guests or the base medrash? Tanya. We learned in a Beitza, Lo yishashem b'cheva b'chalonos v'lo yoridim derech sulamos. I can't lower it with ropes, and I can't bring it down a ladder. The only thing you can do is just drop it. So hasamai hachabiyamtivu dasid like a bitl base measures of al Shabbos tika bitl base measures shapir dami. And again, we're just going to go over these same arguments. So maybe on Shabbos I can lower it with ropes. I can walk it down the ladder. Because again on Shabbos there's a consideration of learning Torah. Hachnasas orchim. Odilma hachadika hafse peres amart lo hasam deleka hafse peres lo kol shakin. And on all these questions the Gemara says teku, meaning we simply do not know. Right, one of those frustrating Gemaras where the Gemara just asked a whole series of questions. A Mishnah in Beitza, a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah in Beitza allows you to drop produce through the skylight to save yourself from financial loss. The Mishnah in Shabbos allows you to clear space for Torah and for Achnasas Orachim. Can we take the considerations over here, apply them to Shabbos? Can we take the considerations of Shabbos to apply them to Yontav? The Gemara asked about four different subtle distinctions between the two cases, and the Gemara says, I do not know. Teiku, we have to leave these questions unresolved, and whether or not we can use the details of one to apply to the other. Mechasen es haperes. We move on to the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah is as follows. There's a drip. It's dripping on my produce. And my produce is going to get ruined. So now, and we're not talking about on the rooftop, and we're not talking about dropping it through the skylight. We're in the house, and there's a drip. There's a leak. So the Mishnah says you can cover the fruit. Amar Ula ve'afilu avir delivna. So Ula now suggests a chiddush, a big chiddush. And that is not only can you cover fruit, now fruit are not muksa, but on top of that you can also cover bricks as well. In other words, for whatever reason the bricks are being stored in the house and there's a drip and the drip is falling down the bricks and the water won't be good for the bricks, and so you can cover the bricks to save yourself from the loss of the bricks becoming saturated with water. Now the bricks are muksa, but I'm not moving the bricks. All I'm doing is covering the bricks. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Peres HaRu'uyin. Now Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, only fruit can be covered because they're not muksa. But the bricks themselves are muksa and I cannot cover them. Now the Gemara says this is Rav Yitzchak being consistent. Rav Yitzchak says that something which is not muksa, like a sheet, I can use it to cover, but use it for only something which is not muksa. I can't move it for a muksa item. In other words, again, let's think about what's going on here. Let's go to a case of stack bricks. I have stack bricks in the house. Obviously, the bricks themselves are not muktzah. Sorry. Let me say that correctly. The bricks themselves are muktzah, right? Muktzah machmas isra. I use them for construction. So the bricks themselves are muktzah. We're not even having a discussion of moving the bricks. There's no discussion to be had. They're muktzah. What we're now engaging in is the discussion of, can I move a non-muktzah item for a muktzah item? So to that, Rabbi Yitzchak says, no. Rabbi Yitzchak says that you are not allowed to move a non-muktzah item for the purpose of a muktzah item. So therefore, when Rabbi Yitzchak looks at our Mishnah says the water's dripping down on the produce. Now the Mishnah says peros. So it's pretty clear what the pshat in the Mishnah is, which the Gemara will address in just a moment. But Rabbi Yitzchak says, see, our Mishnah is very clear that you can only put it down on produce. Why? Because had it been a muktzah item, I can't take a sheet and lay it on top. We're not talking about moving the muktzah item. We're talking about moving a non-muktzah item for a muktzah item. And Rav Yitzchak says you cannot do that. And now the Gemara is going to defend Rav Yitzchak. Tanan, look at our Mishnah. Mechasen as the Paris Bekelem. Paris and Avir Delivna Lo. So our Mishnah couldn't be any clearer. Our Mishnah says that I can take a sheet and cover fruit, meaning only non-muktzah items. Had it been bricks, I can't take a sheet and cover the bricks.
So item has to be for the purpose of something for the Yom Tov Shabbat, right? So what is the definition of non-muktzah? If you use this curtain, then we are using for non-muktzah, for non-shabbat.
Well, right.
It becomes a muktzah itself.
I understand what you're saying, but I mean, this is Rabbi Yitzchak. You're in agreement with Rabbi Yitzchak, meaning that's exactly the argument that Rabbi Yitzchak is making. The counter argument would be, which the Gemara is going to present or defend, is that look, let's segregate, meaning there are muktzah items and there are non muktzah items. Once an item is non muktzah, I can move it on Shabbos. Now there is limitations, meaning right. You remember back in Shabbos we talked about taking even a non muktzah item and moving it just to right mechamal etzel from the sun into the shade. So there are limitations, but okay, yeah, fine. You're in agreement with Rav Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, no, maybe our Mishnah doesn't have to be an absolute proof for Rav Yitzchak. Hu adin dafil avir delivna. Again, the Gemara is just being argumentative, not for the sake of being argumentative. Again, you know how this works. The Mishnah, if the Gemara would find the Mishnah to be absolute proof positive, great. But in other words, he can give a counter argument. And the counter-argument would be that, no, really, our Mishnah, it would allow you to cover even bricks as well. And again, the Mishnah here is just symmetry. The Mishnah opens up with fruit, so therefore the discussion continued with fruit, but hu adin, you can even cover bricks. Our Mishnah then says, covering jugs of oil and jugs of wine. Come on, oil and wine, those are non-muktzah items. I can only cover non-muktzah items. I can't cover a muktzah item. So, So the Gemara says, well, maybe what you can argue is that the wine and oil in question, our Mishnah, is tevel. Trumas and maizos have not been separated. And therefore, it's muktzah. The Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, this is not even a forced pshat. This is a simple pshat of the Mishnah. Why? Look, our Mishnah opened up with peros. So we already got fruit covered. So what is the Mishnah adding to the discussion by saying kadeyayin v'kadeshemen? Let me spell the question out, and then the next line of the Gemara is the answer. So why would the Mishnah mention Kadei Yayin Kadei Shemen? It must be that there's a Chiddush. What's a Chiddush? It's Tevel. So, and again, this would be a proof against Rabbi Yitzchak, and this would allow you to cover muktzah items using a sheet. Now, the Gemara says, no, Kadei Yayin Kadei Shemen, it's Rechlei. The Gemara says, no. Let's argue that Kadei Yayin Kadei Shemen is talking about wine and oil. That's not Tevel. It's Mesukan. It's been fixed. Trumas and Maizos have been taken off. Why would the Mishnah mention it? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. The Chiddush is that a jug of oil and jug of wine is not going to experience a lot of financial loss. It's only got a small opening on the top. A couple of drops of rainwater is going to fall in. your fruit totally exposed to the drip, so your fruit's going to get ruined. That's hefsed meruba. So that you're allowed to cover. But a jug of oil, a jug of wine, maybe the argument could be that it's not going to experience a great financial loss, and maybe the chachamim won't allow you to cover it. That's why the Mishnah mentions kadeh yain and kadeh shemen. Okay, let's pause over here for just a moment, and let me spend just a moment trying to confuse you, even though that you know that's not my goal. Well, the tircha is allowed because of the financial loss. Okay, let's try to confuse each other just a little bit. The Gemara just said again. We're right now in the middle of a basic discussion between Rabbi Yitzchak and who's his bar Plukta and Ula, in terms of whether or not I could take a non-muksa item and use it for a muksa item. Right. The example here being presented is I have fruit, bricks, whatever. I have items that are being dripped on right now. And what I'd like to do is take a sheet, which is a non-muksa item, and cover it so that I save myself from the financial loss. Can I do that, yes or no? So we are now in the middle of a debate between Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak. So Ula says, you can cover even muksa items. And Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, I can only take a non-muksa item to use for another non-muksa item. Good. This is the middle of the discussion we're having right now. And then we're using our Mishnah to bounce back and forth whether or not our Mishnah seems to be supporting Rav Yitzchak, or even Ula can understand our Mishnah. The one example that we just finished in the discussion on the Gemara was Tevel. Where what did the Gemara say regarding Tevel? Oh, Tevel's Muksa. And if the Mishnah is talking about Tevel, so then it's a good proof that I can take a non-Muksa item and use it to even cover Muksa. And the Gemara says, well, no, because maybe our Mishnah is not talking about Tevel. Maybe the wine and the oil in question is non-Tevel. It's Mesukan. Okay, here, you don't have to go that far back. All you need to do is just remember yesterday's daf. And if you remember yesterday's daf, so you'll say the Gemara, remember yesterday's daf said twice, not once, but twice, that vis-a-vis Shabbos and vis-a-vis Yontif, Tevel is not Muksa. So it's a little bit strange that on yesterday's daf we learned, right? That's why the Mishnah mentioned. That's why the Mishnah went out of its way to discuss Shabbos and Tevel to make sure that we knew that Tevel is not Muksa. Now you can be Mafresh Trumas and Maisos on Shabbos and on Yontif, but at the same time, if you did so, remember that was the Gemara's discussion yesterday. If you did so, then you can use it. Then you can eat it. And what about Muksa? It's not Muksa. So, yesterday's daf taught us that Tevel is not Muksa, and today's daf, we're saying just the opposite, that Tevel is Muksa. Okay, good. This is an observation made by Tosos. Take a look at the first Tosos on the Amud. So, v'im tom rav amrin la'el b'sof ha'mevi, de Tevel muchan hu, shim avav tikna mesukan v'perakira nami, lo chashrelei, Mevato kli meichen okem de chazu. Imken akasi tikshalan de tevel in aver de livna lo. So Tosos is bothered by really what is a straightforward question, and what seems to be a blatant contradiction between yesterday's daf and today's daf. Well, yesterday we said tevel is not muksa, and today we're saying tevel is muksa. Okay. V'yeshlama de ula yom alacha de mikomakom chashiv le kedavish she'eno nital kevin de b'shabes mi alachazei kol kamad lo tikno de asal if nosa b'shabes kidnam beperek mefanim. And so Tosus over here has to maneuver his way through these two Gemaras. So basically what Tosus suggests is as follows. Vis-a-vis the halachas of Muksa, it's not Muksa. Tevel's not Muksa. Okay? It's not... Now, why it's not Muksa? So that I tried to explain yesterday. Right, it's only Gzera Derabanan. I don't mean that in a reverent manner, but it's only an Issa Derabanan that prevents me from the produce. And the way Rashi presents it, we saw this in Rashi. Rashi mentioned this twice already in our Masechta. If the only thing preventing me from an item is an Issa Derabanan, that's not Muksa Machmas Issa. Okay, that's the way Rashi suggested. But anyway, but Tosu says, look, really it's not Muksa. Tevel's not Muksa. But still, you go to your Rav. I have Tevel in my house. Can I move it? The Rav's going to say, no, you can't move it. Meaning, it may not be Muksa, but at the same time, I can't eat it. So it's hazy. In other words, it's in some gray area of, on one hand, we're not going to say it's Muksa. On the other hand, it has no purpose on Shabbos and Yontif. So that's why it could still fit under our discussion of, I can only move a kli for something which is nital on Shabbos. Tevel, on one hand, is not muksa, but on the other hand, is not nital. Okay, I know that's not a... Usually we like to categorize and we like to organize and we like to put things in very specific categories. Where exactly does tevel fit in? So as you can see, it's difficult. Difficult to really put into a category where tevel fits, but it's an obvious point, and all you just need to do is remember two days of daf in a row, and the question really presents itself. We're back to the Gemara. Right, understood. Meaning, right, correct. Agreed. Right, it's a difficulty, and certainly attempted. Right, understood. It's difficult. Okay, Tanan. We're back in the Gemara. We're on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. We're more than halfway down on the Amud. And Nosdin Kli Tachas Adel Fishabbos. You have a drip, and the drip is coming down. So I'm collecting a drip. Now again, if you're Rabbi Yitzchak, well, slow down. Meaning that water that's coming down, right? What are we going to do? We're going to drink it. So that water is muksa, and I'm moving a non muksa for muksa. So Rabbi Yitzchak, how do you approach that? So the Gemara says bedelaf haroi. So a two word answer that defends Rabbi Yitzchak. Well, you know what? The drip is good. In other words, yeah, we'll take a drink. Now Rashi points out. It doesn't even have to be for you. Rashi points out it can even be for your animals. Okay, good. So in other words, your animals can drink it. The drip is not muktzah. Maybe a nolad issue? Okay, the Gemara doesn't address that. Apparently it's not nolad. Tashma porsim machatzel sagab levena b'shabbos. You could take a machatzel saman and put it over your bricks on Shabbos. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak, what are you going to do with that? Mishnah Shabbos. So diyasim ibinyana dechazel mizga alayu. So the Gemara says, these aren't bricks for construction, these are bricks after the construction was over. Some leftover bricks, and they're good. Good for what? The Gemara says, good for sitting down on. The Gemara has said this already a number of times. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here, pour some machatzos agabe avonim b'shabbos. The water's dripping on the stones, you can cover the stones on Shabbos. Again, Rabbi Yitzchak, how are you going to handle this? So, b'avonim mikur zalos, techazon le'beis hakisei. These are stones that are good for the beis hakisei. And after they go to the Beis HaKisei, so the hygienic way of the good old days was using not toilet paper, but using stones. Okay, makes you think about them being the good old days. Yeah. And so these stones are not muksa because they're a need for the Beis HaKisei, and that's how Rabbi Yitzchak would defend himself. Tashma, pour some machatzel segabe kaveres de barim b'shabbos b'chamem ne'echam v'kshamem ne'ekshamem o'vavashalo yiskavein latzod. The rain is coming down on your beehive. So quickly cover the beehive. Now here, two issues that we're going to discuss. Number one, a muksa issue. Number two, a malacha issue. Because by covering the beehive, you're trapping the bees. First things first, let's deal with the muksa issue. You could take a man and put him over the kaveres devarim in the summer because of the heat, and in the winter because of the rain. And don't trap them. Now, Hasamnami deika devash. The Gemara says, "Well, the beehive is non muksa because there's honey in the beehive." Amalei Rav Ukvam Mimeshal Rav Ashi Atenach Mimosach Chama deika devash Mimosach Shamei Ma'ikalam Emar. So the Gemara says, "Don't you know anything about beehives?" Now let me be the first to admit, I know nothing about beehives. Okay, but the correct. But I feel like I'm in good company here. No beekeepers around, right? So the Gemara says, "Look." In the summertime, there's sure there's honey in the beehives, but there's no honey in the winter in the beehives. So now what am I doing? The beehive now is simply muksa. There's no honey. And yet I'm allowed to cover the beehive in the winter. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak, how are you going to handle that? So the Gemara says, well, don't you know that even in the wintertime, there are still two honeycombs of honey in the beehive? So the Gemara says, "Oson shtei chalos muksos hein." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but they're not for you; they're for the bees, meaning that's food for the bees over the course of the winter." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but maybe the case in question is where before Shabbos. Look, I know the bees need that honey, but I'd like that honey also. And let's be honest, I'm more important than the bees. So before Shabbos, you actually are considering now with positive machshava, I want that honey." So the Gemara says, okay, so then that means now that we can make a very basic distinction between a case where I wanted that those two honeycombs versus a case where I didn't want those two honeycombs. And now the Gemara is bothered because now the Braisa says, here's when you can cover, here's when you can't cover. I can cover if there's honey in the honeycombs. I can't cover if I'm going to be trapping the bees. The Gemara says you can make a much sharper distinction. And like we say time and again, it's better in the Braisa if we can make a sharper and crisper distinction. So the Gemara says, come on, make a very simple distinction. When I, before Shabbos, think about how I'm going to eat those two honeycombs, the two honey and the two honeycombs, so then, good, then you can cover. But if I do not have that machshava, then I can't cover because then it's simply mukza. Hachikama, the Gemara says, okay, this is a pshat in the Braisa. Afa, pisha, chishav, alayim, ovavashalis, kavan, latzod. So yeah, that basically that's what the Braisa means. Even though I think how I'm going to eat the honeycombs, but still, if covering them is going to result in seda, in trapping, that you can't do. So the Gemara says, just finish up this thread. So the Gemara says, now authorship of the Braisa now becomes very confusing. Because we start off by having a muksa discussion, which is Rabbi Yehuda, and then we have an intent discussion, where there we're going to be going like Rabbi Shimon. V'tizbra de Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara says, no. No, even the end of that Braisa is not going like Rabbi Shimon. V'ha abai v'rava damri tavaya mod Rabbi Shimon. B'psik reshi v'lo yamos. If I'm covering the honey, and even if my intent is not to trap the bees, but if the bees are going to get trapped, that's what's called psik reshi, and we know, we've been here enough, we know that that's going to be usher, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So lo olam kula Rabbi Yehuda v'yacha b'may skin and de'isbei kave. So the Gemara says the entire Braisa is going like Rav Yehuda, and there is an exit strategy for the bees. Even when I cover with the cloth, the bees have a side exit. Right? That's what the Gemara here refers to as kave. Kave is a side window. So the Gemara says, "Velo tamal Rav Yehuda vavashal is kaven lasod ela ema uvavachalo yasenu mitsuda." In other words, if it's an entrapment to the bees, then you cannot do it. Simple. But if there's a side exit, so then they could do it. So the Gemara says, Pshita. So the Gemara says, now, we're making now a super obvious point, that if I'm trapping the bees, it's going to be prohibited. So the Gemara says, well, I might have thought, no one traps bees. Bees are not things that we trap. So I might have thought that there is no malacha of tzeda by bees, since they're generally speaking not trapped. Kamash malan, no. You take a bee and you trap it, you violate an iser of tzeda on Shabbos. That's the chiddush. Okay, Adkan, we stop over here again. We finished off the kavua discussion of the fourth perek. We started the tircha discussion of the fifth perek. Question of, are the same allowances on Yontov the same allowances on Shabbos and vice versa? Teku, the Gemara leaves that question unresolved. And then the big discussion of today is, can I move a non-muksa item for the purposes of a muksa item? Machlokas Amoraim between Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak, and we've spent a good part of today defending both positions. Not taking, huh? Well, tomorrow the Gemara will conclude. Come back tomorrow.